passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Time. Now, first of all, we are a live call-in show, so you can call in at 202-570-7057. This being the Thursday that is closest to the sign changeover, the astrological sign changeover means that this is the Thursday of planetary influences, where I'm joined by Lori Powers Otto and astrologer Rob Stewart at innercenter.org. So he's going to give us a little bit of a look at what's coming up in the time of Cancer so that we can use that information with which to make better decisions. When that's done, my listeners are going to actually hear Rob as he kind of goes over my chart with me, and we're going to finish that up next month. And he's also going to do my solar return, which is something that I cannot recommend high enough, that I think every person should always do around their birthday. But we'll get to that. Rob, Lori, how are you?
Doing well.
Doing well.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, absolutely. So, you know, I did have a hot topic, but I'm going to pass the hot topic right over. I want to jump right into planetary influences because you told me, Rob, you've got a lot to talk about, and I don't want to eclipse. I don't want to eclipse your time.
That's a good one. It's Mercury retrograde, and just to be clear, my website is innercenter.org.
Did I say it wrong?
You said intercenter, and that's a great example of a Mercury retrograde. Of course, the Mercury retrograde is station today, and so it happens every four months. And it's a time in which we really things really slow down in a big way, and we'll get to all that. But first, I want to talk about the big astrological events of the eclipses. Eclipses are really massive events astrologically. We generally have about 4 to 6 of them a year, and the ones that are coming up are particularly important for a number of reasons. The solar eclipse is on the new moon on June 21st, so just in a couple days, just as the sun, of course, enters the sign of Cancer. So the solar eclipse occurs at 0 degrees Cancer. So eclipses offer sort of oftentimes dramatic changes in life. They sort of lead us in new directions that can be surprising and unexpected at times. So the solar eclipse occurs during the new moon, and it brings bold beginnings. And oftentimes it sets us on a new path, one that we may not have imagined before. And the lunar eclipse is occurring on July 4th, Independence Day, and that occurs at the full moon, and that's occurring at 13 degrees Capricorn. And lunar eclipses give us an opportunity to sort of embrace our shadow side and our humanity at large. And so I just want to speak a little bit about these eclipses because they are pretty big events as we look at the world and the path forward. So the solar eclipse on June 21st is particularly powerful because it falls on the summer solstice. Falls on June 21st, the summer solstice. It's a day in which the sun has the longest path in our sky. So what's really important right now is that there's about 6 planets that are either in retrograde, which means it appears as though they're moving backwards, although they're not in reality. It just appears as they're moving backwards from our perspective on planet Earth. But there's six planets that are either stationary or moving backwards, and that's a really big deal. When planets are retrograde, it's a time to reassess, it's a time to relook at things. And right now, we have, you know, at the time of these eclipses, there's about six that are either going to stationary or fully in retrograde. And so what it means is that we're sort of reassessing, reevaluating lessons from the past. And, you know, one of the things that really strikes me about these eclipses coming up is that eclipses hit the same point in the zodiac. They hit the same degree in the zodiac every 19 years. And so the last time we had eclipses on the summer solstice and on Independence Day at these same degrees was back in June and July 2001. And clearly that was a year in which things were really changed in a big way, in an unfortunate way, in a big way. And the places where these solar eclipses hits the USA's birth chart are pretty sensitive locations. And I want to be clear, I'm not saying there's going to be, you know, any awful thing like that. God knows, I sure hope not. And I'm not saying that there's going to be, but the fact that these solar eclipses touch the chart at similar degrees just means that there might be an emotional road ahead. And that's something we sort of already know where we are. You know, look at the world at large and this crisis and the pandemic that we're moving through, you know, the racism issues that we're all, you know, it's coming to the surface. So there's a lot of things that to work through as a nation. And so the solar eclipse being at 0 degrees Cancer, it brings a new emotional path ahead. And the sign of Cancer can be nurturing, it can be very healing and caring, but it can also be on the lower side more reactive and fearful and overprotective. And so in this path forward, of course, you know, we can choose which way to go with that energy, but certainly it will be an emotional time moving ahead and an opportunity to heal. And it's about finding a balance between safety and vulnerability. It's how can we find enough safety to be vulnerable with ourselves, with others, and heal? There's great healing in the sign of Cancer, and there's great opportunity for healing ahead, but it's likely an emotional path ahead. And so in the U.S.'s chart, 0 degrees Cancer occurs in the seventh house of relationships. It's conjunct Venus and Jupiter in Cancer. And it also trines the natal moon of the U.S.'s chart in Aquarius. And so that can really touch upon some old trauma as a nation, our wounds as a nation. Our traumatic past, all the issues of this nation. And so it's a time where things can really come up to be healed and to be nurtured, but it can also potentially be a time of reactivity. And so we have the opportunity to take this in our own lives the way that we choose, and the best that we can.
Now, with being in Cancer, this happening, and we look at the shadow side of Cancer, it could also be a push towards more isolationism, could it not?
Yeah, the sign of Cancer is about energy coming inwards. It's a yin energy. It's about energy returning to the center. So it is about sort of closing one's eyes and feeling into the emotional depths of ourselves. And so I agree that it is about returning within oneself, but there's also emotions will be high, and communication, there can be, it's a time to really relook at old things, particularly in relationships, not only in, you know, intimate relationships, but just relationships in general, and to really let go of the things that no longer serve us, whether they're our own patterns or they're people or things in our life that just aren't working for us.
Well, it's interesting because as you say that, and I think that, first of all, we have our internal race relationships with Blacks, with immigrants, with Native Americans. We also have our relationship, which definitely with this administration, some of our most treasured relationships have gotten on the rocks. And part of what I hear you say, and being very familiar with the Cancerian energy, I wonder why, is that a wounded Cancer that's unhealthy will go back into their shell. That's why I said the isolation, that they can lash out, that they can actually be destructive to relationships if they feel like they're wounded, if they're coming from their wounds. And our wounds are all on display now, and we have a lot of pivotal world relationships which seem to be in the balance these days. That's kind of where I'm coming from that. So I don't know if that makes sense, but I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that touches it right on the head. You know, these oftentimes with our wounds, we go into protection mode, and there's wisdom in that, and there's also, you know, we all have our vulnerabilities. We all have our access points, and it's also offers an opportunity to heal in ways in which we're able to and we're ready to. There's with anything, there's the high side and the low side. And we have, again, the opportunity to move in the way that we choose with all this, as difficult as it may be. But I completely agree with everything you said.
Okay, so I'll let you move forward. Lori, any thoughts, comments before we have him move forward?
No, I was going to say similarly to what you said, actually. When he started talking about that, I thought that's why all this is, all these riots and protests and everything are coming up, and people either have to decide to heal or to move forward, or they can go in the opposite direction and be miserable and unhealthy. That's
right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
forward, Mr. Rob. Yep.
Yeah. So, and then the full moon lunar eclipse is on July 4th at 13 degrees Capricorn. And again, this is the lunar eclipses offer us opportunities, not necessarily on the day, of course, but in the 6 months ahead, to embrace our shadow side. And it's a time to let go of what doesn't work in a mature way. It's time to, you know, to look at what is realistic and practical in our own lives. And it's acknowledging those shadow parts of ourselves and embracing what's difficult to see in our own self, and to a larger degree, our nation and, you know, these communities that we're in. And so as a nation, in the U.S.'s chart, this falls on the cusp of the second house. And so it's about figuring out what matters in our life. It's about, you know, how can we be more self-reliant? Perhaps that as a nation, we're looking at what do we value, what, you know, and to work with those shadow parts of what we value, you know, and how do we live according to our personal values? And so it can, you know, some of the shadow issues that can be brought up in this are survival instincts that can really be brought up. And so, you know, we look at these eclipses 19 years ago, and of course it was just the beginning of sort of a new phase in sort of this, and of course terrorism and military involvement throughout the world. And, one could argue that our own, our nation as a sort of the military intervention overseas, the shadow side of that is it having to deal with that at home. And so these sort of shadow sides of us as a nation and their survival instincts can be brought up to the surface to be embraced, to be worked through, and to be healed. So those are some of the big themes. And even the shadow sides of, as this, our nation, clearly it's very strong and powerful in different ways, and it's dealing with the shadow sides of authority, of control, of all that. That's something that, of course, can be brought to the surface to work with in some ways.
Now, I find it interesting that you made the reference that you did, because I've said a couple of times recently about that some people are experiencing with the COVID-19 some of the same energy that they would associate with 9/11, of powerless, beyond your control, this attack that, happened. And though 9/11 was very, very, focused and happened over, a 24-hour period or less, but, the ramifications. But that a lot of what we're seeing is people that feel like they have no control. They don't know, who's a carrier or how do you get it and will you survive it and all of these things. And when we recognize we had terrorists on our soil that were attacking our buildings and killing our people, that it brought up a certain insecurity that Americans had arrogantly really never felt in a way. And that some of that COVID-19 was bringing up those energies as well. So it's interesting that you made this comparison. I just wanted to point that out. We're going to our first break, and when we come back, Rob is going to tell us what else we have to not look forward to in the upcoming time of cancer.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others, and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
All Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. This week we're doing planetary influences, the upcoming astrology, more information with which to make the better decisions. I'm here with Lori Powers Otto, and I'm here with Rob Stewart from Inner Center. My dentures obviously slipped on the first round because it sounded like I said inter, but innercenter.org. Rob, please continue. We're all waiting for the next tragedy.
Well, you know, I think it's, you know, we don't have to, the future is unwritten. You know, there's the path ahead is not in stone. There's no, I see things in terms of opportunities available. And before break, you mentioned the Pluto-Saturn, you mentioned the similarities someone mentioned regarding 9/11 and the COVID thing. And I certainly agree with that. And certainly astrologically, there's similarities. For one, 9/11 occurred when Pluto and Saturn were in opposition. And whenever there's difficult angles between Pluto and Saturn, there's pretty intense events at the world stage. And today we have Pluto and Saturn conjunct. And so there's a lot of astrological similarities between the two events. And I think that's something, like your friend said, we can all feel in some way. So just moving on, those are the eclipses. To give just a general lay of the land with the sort of the planets and the rest, Sun entered Cancer, or will enter Cancer on June 21st. And so we spoke about Cancer. There's emotions connecting with our feelings. And there's opportunities for healing, and there's also opportunities for going inside and lashing out from our hurts. And, we have the opportunity to work with those themes within our own being. And it's about returning into oneself. It's about, like I said before, closing our eyes and sort of returning, sensing into how we feel and to really honor how we feel. And reconnecting with ourselves in that way. In Gemini last month, when the sun was in Gemini, the sun was energy. The energy is sort of focused outside of ourselves. Gemini is sort of focused outside. It's about what we see, you know, how I see the world, how I understand the world. And of course, we had the horrifying George Flynn murder and the subsequent protests and riots. And it was a time of really sort of interacting outside of ourselves, you know, and now the energy sort of returning within, and it's a time of checking in and all that. And again, we can use this opportunity to heal as much as we can, and also it's a time of great emotions. And so we also have Mercury in retrograde that began today. So today Mercury's stationary, and that's at 14 degrees Cancer. And so retrogrades, again, we have many planets retrograde now, and it's a time for reassessment. It's a time for reevaluation, reintegration. It's a time to really slow down. And there's generally a shift of emphasis during Mercury retrogrades from the left analytical mind to the right sort of right brain intuitive mind. And so sometimes when we sort of try to do analytical analysis, we can feel like, you know, a four cylinder engine having to revert to two cylinders. You know, it's like speaking from my own experience, I can kind of spin out a bit if I try to rely too much on my analytical nature during Mercury retrogrades. And of course, it's going to be experienced different by everybody. But that's one thing to be aware of. But it's also in the sign of Cancer, so there's a lot of emotional communication that can go on. You know, like I said, it's a great time to look at past things, particularly looking at interrelationships with other people. Venus is still retrograde here for another few days. And that's in the sign of Gemini, which is, of course, ruled by Mercury. So there's a lot of relationship, friendship, things being worked through, being evaluated right now. You know, sometimes it's easy to get overwhelmed in Mercury retrograde. And, you know, I remind people it's a great time for meditation, particularly today, particularly when Mercury is stationary. It's just a great time to just stop when you can. And so Mercury's also square Mars in Aries for 3 weeks in July. And so it's going to be a really emotional period of time. July could be a very, very emotional period of time. You know, the headlines in the news, we could see even sort of an uptick in emotion, in anger and frustration. Mars entering Aries here really soon. So there can be reactivity and things like that. But I want to say also that it is a time to heal those frustrations, to voice one's opinions, and to do so in a healing way. And so Mars enters Aries on June 29th, and it'll be in Aries for 6 months, which is unusual. Mars will be in retrograde in Aries, which sort of extends its time in Aries. But Aries is assertive, it's impulsive, it's bold, it's courageous, it's fiery, and it can be combative. And so these next 6 months, you know, there's themes there for us to step into our courage, you know, valuing what it is that what I want. And remember, many of these planets are in retrograde. So it's about reevaluating what I want. How can I use how do I assertively step into what I want through reevaluation of what I don't? But there can be themes of assertiveness, and even needing courage, and maybe even over aggression as well, unfortunately. And the other thing I want to note is at the end of this month, at the same time that Mars enters Aries, we have a Jupiter conjunction, its second conjunction with Pluto. And so the last time we had Jupiter conjunct Pluto, which was the end of March of this year, that's when quarantine started. And so one could, you know, there's a possibility. One interpretation would be a reversion back to quarantine, perhaps by the end of this month. I don't know. This is simply, you know, I have no idea. But Pluto and Jupiter will be conjunct by the end of this month for the second conjunction. And it's also sextile Saturn, which is a time in which people might really welcome those types of restrictive measures as well. You know, it might be the time where people sort of welcome in that to stop the spread. So I don't know. But the last time Jupiter was conjunct Pluto was when the first quarantine started. The next time Jupiter's conjunct Pluto is election day. So that's more, there's a lot going on. That's all I really have for the forecast. Questions about that?
So you said that Mars is going to square Saturn?
Oh, Mars will sextile Saturn.
So will it also sextile Pluto? Because they're dancing together right now, aren't they?
There's a separation between the two. So I'm not sure what the orb is. I have to pull that up. But no, it doesn't make doesn't make any tight sextile with. So Saturn, Saturn's 5 or 6 degrees away from Jupiter, Pluto.
Okay. So I don't have any other questions. Lori, do you?
Well, I just think you should explain to people the terms that you're using, like sextile
Yeah, thanks, Lori. That's a good point. I mean, so you're right. So the sextile basically just means there's a really coinciding energy between Saturn and Mars. In other words, when Mars is activated, Saturn's activated also, and there's no disagreement between the two. They're like, yeah, let's do this. So with Mars sextiling Saturn, there's sort of a mutual working between the two with very little friction. But yeah, you bring up a really good point, Laurie. I need to be better about that.
No, you do a really great job, and I appreciate your explanations. I find them very thorough. I just know that there are some people that don't understand those terms, and I just thought it would be helpful if we explained it to them. Well, by we,
yeah,
and you. It,
yeah. No, it's a great point. It's a really good point, and I appreciate that.
Okay. Now let's move on to the good stuff. Talk about me.
All right. So, okay. Right. So this is an example of, so the type of astrology I do is evolutionary astrology. And I base my work on a lot of the work by Tom Jacobs, who's a wonderful evolutionary astrologer. And you can check out his stuff online. And also Jeffrey Wolf Green and Stephen Forrest. Jeffrey Wolf Green and Stephen Forrest are sort of the fathers of evolutionary astrology. And Tom sort of took some things and went with a few different things, and it really resonates with me. So evolutionary astrology is based on the premise that a soul lives many lifetimes. And the birth chart in this lifetime speaks to some of the themes that our soul has been moving through in past lifetimes and themes in which we evolve through. And so it's sort of, evolutionary astrology describes an empowerment journey that our soul is sort of moving through. And the journey involves experiences of both gaining and losing power. There's feelings of being overpowered at times, and other times of feeling being blocked from having power. And also feelings of achievement. So it's areas in life where we're sort of drawn to, because there's some type of unfinished, something unfinished in that empowerment journey. And so we sort of get unavoidably pulled into that journey. And it brings up past life woundings, it brings up pain, anger, grief, joy. It brings up all of it. And by moving through this journey, which is represented by Pluto, we become more empowered, and we can see things in a new way. It's sort of, from the evolutionary astrology standpoint, it's sort of the life journey, so to speak. So Dr. Kevin, so your Pluto is in the ninth house in Virgo, and what that means is that over many lifetimes, this is interpreted as there's a search for truth. Some sort of a need to explain the natural laws of the universe. It's about having faith and believing in something. And so you might have had many, many past lifetimes. And again, I don't know what your past lifetimes were, but this speaks to some of the themes involved. And we'll speak to some of those. But you might have had many lifetimes cycling through different belief systems. Oftentimes, people with ninth house Pluto are born into a family with a belief system, and over the past few thousands of years, belief is associated with religion. But I would argue that, you know, doesn't matter what it, you know, even an atheist worldview is still it's an adopted framework of philosophy, and therefore a form of a belief. And so people with ninth house Plutos are often born into religious families in the past. And so your life, and again, according to this, and you be the judge, and you know, you know what's true for you, and I don't. I'm just speaking to the chart. But it's as if you're exploring different ways of seeing the world, different belief systems in which you can align with. And so you know, and like I said, any type of philosophy that adopts a form of a belief system is sort of the framework in which we see the world. So it's likely you felt empowered when you align with a certain belief system, and perhaps there are times where you felt disempowered when that belief system didn't hold up in certain areas of life. or perhaps going through periods in past lives of choosing the wrong belief system. But Pluto's also in Virgo, and that's about making choices and analyzing and discerning. It's about making those choices about which philosophies are right for you. And so that empowerment journey might be about finding the guiding principle for yourself in life. And it likely involves improving and refining that philosophy in which you see the world. And you might have had in past lifetimes, you might have been the victim of a belief system. Or maybe you were part of a belief system, and at one point you're like, this isn't working for me. You know, what have I been doing? So there in this empowerment journey in past lives, we see all sides of these issues, from the victim to the arbitrator, you know, all those different sides. And you might have been criticized for your belief system, or maybe even been involved, you know, in the popular belief system at the time and criticized others. And that's just a normal, natural, you know, thing. We've all done it all, you know. But the ninth house is also about intuition and imagination. And so your sun is conjunct Venus in Cancer in the eighth. And so it's likely that the search for truth is directly connected to finding belonging in your life, and finding that inner stability. It's about, and deep relationships and deep emotions, and also about navigating the psychic landscape. Pluto in ninth house, there's a lot of psychic material to sort through, you know, from the real stuff to the unreal stuff and everything in between. I don't know, but you do, you know, with all that. So the empowerment journey involves, according to the system, what guidance is for me? What guidance isn't for me? What emotions are mine? What emotions are not? And again, you know, check in with yourself. You know, I'm not sure if this fits or not, but and Pluto also makes a square with the ascendant in Scorpio. And so there's this deep sort of investigative reporter in you that likely caused some friction in the past with different belief systems. And it can also indicate having various identity transformations in life when the ascendant is square Pluto. And Pluto is also opposite the asteroid Chiron. And so part of the empowerment journey, it involves sort of having to confront other people's suffering and wounds. And, you know, you might experience times when people refuse to hear your truth. You might be sort of feeling that you're being opposed by people saying, like, please don't bring that up again, Dr. Kevin. Like, please don't say that. Please don't go there. You know, that type of thing. And this might bring up some past life woundings, according to evolutionary astrology. Does any of that resonate for you, Dr. Kevin?
Okay, so I knew we were coming up on break. I was just taking it all in. I'm going to respond as soon as we get back.
All right.
So come back and join us here on the Dr. Kevin Show as we do evolutionary astrology on Dr. Kevin with Rob Stewart of innercenter.org.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show. This week we're doing planetary influences with Lori Powers Otto and Rob Stewart of innercenter.org. And Rob is doing my evolutionary astrology, which I've never had done before. This is brand new to me. So before I tell you, respond to your question as we closed, which was about, did the stuff you say make sense? I'm going to ask Lori, who knows me pretty well, and we've known each other for a while, how much of this stuff sounds to you like it's Dr. Kevin stuff, Lori?
Oh, I thought it was 100% bang on, absolutely correct. I don't know if that's too much. I see you in everything he said.
Yeah.
You're an instigator. You have belief systems. You're, you know, you're psychic. I mean, everything.
Yeah. It's, you know, there was a dozen different examples that came to mind of, well, that's spot on. I look at that part of my journey. I look at that part of my journey. I'm not going to go over what they are, but I will say at some point I'll take you out to dinner, Rob, and I'll fill in some of the backspace for you. But I'm sure you have more to tell me, and we have limited time. But let's just say spot on. Go ahead.
All right. Well, we're just going to...
Okay. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're just getting started. So, the next thing is we look at the South Node. And so the South Node represents our early family conditioning in this life, as well as some of the conditioning we had in past lives. So the idea is that as an infant, we sort of are a clean slate in many, many respects, and we need to be taught how to be human. You know, we need to be taught a certain lens in which to see the world. It's one way of being a human in the world, is what our family teaches us. And so this worldview that you're taught with a family is in the evolutionary perspective, reflects that of a past life. And so your South Node is in the fourth house. And so there was likely clear expectations as to what it takes to be part of your childhood family, Dr. Kevin. There was likely some tradition, some heritage. Maybe it was a religious family. I'm not really sure, but sort of a strong connection and emphasis on the mother, also on home, family, and togetherness. And so the fourth house is about security. It's about nesting. You might have had past lifetimes of having that in abundance. And you also might have had past lifetimes in which you didn't have that, but it was still an emphasis. You know, the emphasis was, I don't have that. There might have been themes of feeling connected and disconnected in that sort of home and nurturing environment. And so it's also in Pisces. Your South Node is also in Pisces. And so there was a sense of perhaps you, little Dr. Kevin, I'll call it infant you, little Dr. Kevin, if that's all right. But maybe there was a sense that the little infant had to go with the flow. Maybe there was a feeling of lack of control, maybe some lack of emotional boundaries at home in some way or the other. And it's possible that as a child, you may not have been given a sort of a healthy model for expressing certain emotions. But, you know, so there might have been themes of codependency and things like that. I know that well. That's part of my family upbringing as well. But it's as if, you know, there might have sort of the inner foundations may not have been as fully solid as you would have liked. And so the South Node is also trine the Moon and Venus. And so this represents a really strong connection with your mother. With lots of gentleness, lots of love, deep emotions. And, you know, with that deep connection, there might have also been potential for overprotection or maybe even sort of coddling of infant Dr. Kevin at certain times. But it was a really, according to the astrology, was a really graceful, comforting, and sort of elegant infancy, I guess you'd say, you know? The South Node is also sextile Saturn, and Saturn represents the father oftentimes. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's just the masculine energy, and we usually associate the masculine with father, but it's not always the case. But with a soft aspect of Saturn, you know, your father, and again, I'm not sure, I don't know about any of this, but you might have had an authoritative father, maybe someone with, you know, a fixed stance. But very mature, very responsible person, maybe a prominent role in society or something like that. But it's sort of an authority in your life. And because it sextiles the South Node, that authority in your life might have been acceptable or maybe even comforting for infant Dr. Kevin at the time. But so the South Node is opposite the midheaven. And so you may not, the little Dr. Kevin may not have been encouraged to be ambitious. Perhaps the family wasn't necessarily a perfect model for a supportive balance between public and private life. The father might have been very masculine. Maybe he was the type of like, hey, let me take care of everybody and all that. I don't know. But here's the thing is that the South Node is in conjunct Uranus. And so it's clear that your family may not have understood the free thinking person you are. The family system may not have supported you questioning belief systems. The Uranus is in the ninth house. And you know, it's Uranus is in Leo in the ninth house. So you sort of like to question the belief systems in a sort of a, dramatic and expressive way and charismatic way. And so you might have been oil to their water in the respect of questioning belief systems.
So go ahead, finish. I'll feedback when you're done.
Yeah. So that's the end of the South Node. Then we could look at if you want to comment on that, that'd be great. And then we can talk about the South Node ruler quickly from there. It's up to you if you want me to. Yeah.
Well, so it's very interesting because I had a father and I had a stepfather. You describe more my stepfather than my father, who didn't come in until I was like 7, 8. The other thing is I had some very coddling, nurturing, mother-like energy from other females, but definitely not from my mother. So it's very interesting, because you had made the delineation of Saturn, it's thought of as your father, but it could be any masculine energy. But you didn't say the same thing about, well, this is your mother or any feminine energy that may have played that role. And I'm like, well, you're getting a cross between my birth father, who was a Taurus, my stepdad, who was a Cancer, and then we have my mother as a Capricorn. And so there was definitely, so it was like there were some things you were saying that were spot on, but some things I had to kind of extrapolate and take out of the box, like, oh, no, that was not my mother. But there were females that played that role. So
right. Well, so that's very interesting. And that's a great point. So often we represent Saturn with the Father. And the funny thing is that Saturn is in Capricorn for you in the second house. It's possible that maybe that was representing your mother. I'm not sure. But the coddling and that sort of things, you're absolutely right. You know, I sort of immediately sort of go to mother role, but of course it's not the case always. And so sorry about that. And
The other piece of feedback was you talked about having like a lot of tradition or a lot of foundation. But what I found was I created a lot of those because they didn't exist. I had a deep need to create stability and tradition that didn't actually exist in my family. But I was driven to be the person that more pushed it, especially as I got older, of, you know, holding on to these energies. So, again, it's a very interesting play out. That it was important to me, but because it wasn't available, I created it in a lot of
ways. Right. And I want to be clear, you know, regarding the tradition in a family, it can also be something like, oh, you know, we're nice people. You know, there's some sort of defining, very defining sort of characteristic of the family. And that, you know, if there isn't something like that, I totally hear you. I'm just saying
that existed as what will the neighbors think? You don't do anything until you figure out what the neighbors are going to think first, because it's more important what the neighbors think than what really makes you happy or who you really are. You must look good. You don't have to be good. You have to look good. So that fits into what you said. That was a very strong message in my childhood.
Yeah, and I don't know about all that, but again, you know, this doesn't write a novel, of course. This speaks to different themes. And
yeah, absolutely.
It's
all very interesting. I'm just continue. We only have a couple more minutes, and I'm sure you have more than that. But we'll pick it up next time because I want to hear the rest of it. But go ahead, let's see what else we can get in. What were you going to say about this?
So the next thing is the South Node ruler by sign. And so this represents sort of who you show up as lifetime after lifetime, according to this system, of course. And it speaks to sort of specific talents and skills. And other people might see you and they think, oh, you know, he's good at that. And you sort of find yourself in a role and that resonates with who and what you are. And so investigative journalist. And also potential for ruffling a few feathers in your day.
Yeah.
And according to this, again, you know, this is just sort of experimenting with seeing, you know, these signs in different ways. And so, you know, Neptune is retrograde. So it's possible there was in some lifetimes you may have been even sort of overly spiritual or maybe overly Neptunian. And perhaps in this lifetime, it's about taking a more grounded and sort of practical approach to those areas in life. But
that's
Neptune
funny.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's funny because, yes, I'm definitely a rabble rouser and a rebel, and I challenge people in this lifetime, but I've also been called by people the most practical, pragmatic, spiritual person you'll ever meet. Because I'm always like, how does this apply? What do you do with it? How does it change your life? Because if it's not changing your life and it's not making your life better, why are you bothering? And I've been saying that for 30 years, and I horrify half the spiritual community when I say that. But I think that's funny because what you just described fits it exactly. Go ahead.
So Neptune is opposes Mars, and so there might have been lifetimes in which you confronted egos. The Mars is in Taurus, so it might have been, you know, confronting a very strong ego, and the ways of working these are, of course, working with your own strong Mars, your own strong Mars energy in Taurus. Those are ways of working with it. But in past lives, according to evolutionary astrology, you might have been confronted by those strong, assertive type of egos in Taurus, and maybe even some power struggles because Neptune is square Mercury in the eighth house. And so, you know, there's indications here where there was some friction and challenges with others due to that deep Scorpio investigative and emotional areas of life. So there's a lot of possibilities here, and again, there's no definites with any of this, and I'm not here to prove anyone one way or another with all that, but these are the type of energies that the chart speaks to, and some of the themes in which working with in this life. And the North Node is in the 10th house in Virgo, so it's about stepping into a public role and career and being of service to the world to make it sort of a better place in a practical way.
Another spot on. We're going to pick this up next month on Planetary Influences, and then we're going to look at the evolutionary astrology version of a solar return, and we're going to talk about what that is and why would you want one. Rob, fascinating. Very different than anything I've experienced. I think it's wonderful, and I look forward to hearing the rest of it. Lori, thank you for joining us as always.
Hey,
guys. Be well and stay safe.
All right. Yeah. Take care, you guys.
Bye.